It's always a struggle here on our show, at least it is for me, how much we want to share about our private life or our personal experiences. But I wanted to share this one because I think everybody can relate to it and because it had such a profound effect on me. A little over a week ago, last Monday, we had a terrible tragedy in our town. A young boy, 13 years old, a seventh grader, his name is Alex, and he went to sleep last Monday night, and perfectly healthy, vibrant kid, and he didn't wake up. He died in his sleep. It was just an awful story. And he leaves behind his parents, his two sisters. I know this family. They go to my church. I don't know him well, I know him well enough where I'd talk to him after church or if I saw him around town at a store or a football game. And you hear this so often after someone passes away. They were the nicest person. They are the nicest family. I'm telling you, believe me, these people are so nice. I didn't know them well, but they were just the people that you enjoyed being around. You know, people that just have a glow about them, a warmth to them. Mm-hmm. That's the way this family was and this young man was. And everyone in our town feels the same way about them, and we've all just been heartbroken about this whole thing. Well, this Friday, I don't know if you guys have ever been to a candlelight vigil before. There was one held for this young man on Friday, and went to it with my family. There was hundreds of people there. The outpouring was just incredible. And it's one of the most painful things I've ever been through before, because I've never heard that much just raw emotion and sadness. His classmates taking the microphone and talking about him. It was great for them. I think it was really good therapy for them, because we don't know how to react to death as adults, let alone a seventh grader. And while each one of them talked, there was this constant moaning and crying that you could hear in the background. I'm never going to forget that. It was just, I just never heard something that emotional before. And then something happened at the end of the vigil that I'm also never going to forget. The father, the family was there, and the father got up and addressed the crowd, Steve. And something happened at the end of his talk. He thanked everyone for being there and for their support and how lucky he was how lucky his son was to have friends and mentors like the ones that were in his life. And then at the end of his story, this is something that just affected me, and I wanted to share it with you. I've lived in Denton County for 4.5 years now, and one of the great things about being out in the country is our night sky. You know, the stars are brighter out mm-hmm. there. I've looked to the sky hundreds of times to see the shooting star, because when you're out in the country, a lot of times you'll see it. Well, as the father was finishing up talking at this candlelight vigil, it wasn't just a little streak. It was the biggest shooting star I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And I don't know what everyone else thought of it, and maybe it was, and to the people who are listening, they think, oh, well, you know, a satellite burning out, you know, a coincidence of timing.
Did everybody see it, or did you see it?
Everybody saw it. The crowd gasped. Everyone just went, oh. I mean, it was breathtaking. And, you know, we've talked about religion before. We've talked about God before. That was my take on it. I mean, I felt the presence of God, and I know we don't talk about that here on the show much. When you do, and I'm sure emailers are lining up right now to, you know, say something disparaging. Hey, I didn't tune in to hear religion talk.
Don't worry about it.
Whatever. I've felt that presence before. You know, when my kids were born, I was there when my dad took his last breath, and there was a peace, and I felt it. And I think, you know, other people that were there felt it as well. And it's just a remarkable moment. And then you get to the funeral on Sunday, and I've never seen such outpouring before. A church was packed. There were people standing in the back of the sanctuary. They set up temporary seating outside the church, rows and rows of people. A friend of mine who owns a video company donated, was nice enough to donate a video screen so people could see and hear. My pastor Corey talk, who did just an incredible job of talking about the life of this kid and his family. And Corey's just amazing. And, he tried to make sense of how a 13-year-old boy can go to sleep at night perfectly healthy and not wake up the next morning. And then the parents talked. I couldn't do it. There's just no way I could do that if something happened to one of my kids. Junior, you spoke at your mom's funeral, did a wonderful job. I spoke at my mom's, and that was the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. It was as torn up as we were. That's the way it's supposed to happen. When it happens the other way, I just don't see how parents find the strength to do that. And the mother, her name is Mary, was so eloquent. She had several stories of the challenges of raising a teenage son that I could certainly relate to. And there was laughter, but there was also the undeniable pain in her voice. And then Steve talked again. The father eulogized his son. He was incredible. He told the story of his nickname. He was a basketball player. He loved sports. His nickname was the A-Train. You know, his name is Alex. And he also told the story about how thankful he was that they had this tradition that he would tuck him in at night. And how you're never too old to be tucked in. And I thought about so many things after this last week. I thought about our friend Todd Storch, who we used to work with. He and his wife Tara lost their daughter Taylor a couple of years ago in a skiing accident. Like Alex, Taylor was 13. Again, I don't know how parents go on to do such great things like Todd and Tara have done with Taylor's Gift Foundation and raising awareness for organ donation. And I also thought of my own kids, and every parent does when you go through these stories. And it's been a really tough week for my youngest son. He knew Alex not well, but they had PE together last year in school. They played baseball against each other this last spring. He knew him. And it's been really sad for him and all the kids of my town. And it's been just a sad week. But I wanted to share with you not the sadness, but the inspiration that I got from Alex, his parents, his sisters. And I'm here to tell you that the memory of Alex is going to make me better. And, you know, I've made a pledge, and it may be the usual hollow Giorgio pledge. I'm going to mow a P1's lawn or something like that. But, I mean, I have so many faults, and like a lot of people, I take things for granted, and we all have these blinders on. I don't know about you guys. I go through every day, and I think, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. And, oh, geez, I got to talk to him. I got to, you know, to have this phone conversation with this person. All I'm telling you is that I'm going to try, and I'm going to try to be a better person, a better father, a better husband, a better brother, a better friend. And we live in such a cynical world that, you know, maybe I will be back to my old lazy behavior a couple of weeks from now. But I'm here to tell you that I'm going to try. And as sad as this whole thing is, I just wanted to air it on our show as some sort of service, because, you know, maybe there is the guy that's driving in who had a horrible night with his, you know, teenager last night. And maybe he'll go down the hallway and have that conversation with him. Maybe you don't have the big, you know, emotional tuck in, but maybe you just have a conversation with him, or you have a hug with him. And I just have realized this last week that life is short. It was way too short for Alex. And because of him, I'm going to try not to waste another day.
That's a great pledge. That's a great thought. And I think you hit on something. We are all very lazy when it comes to that kind of stuff. The stuff that we know we should do, mm-hmm. The people that we know we should tell them that we love them and all of that. For some reason, we get real lazy about that. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
why is that?
We just put up these walls and we just think, oh, it's uncomfortable, you know, and I don't know. We just, my own experience, I am lazy. I think that's my biggest problem. I have so many faults, but that's my biggest one is that, yeah, I need to make that phone call, but I don't. I need to tell that person, hey, you really did a good job with that. And just immediately, my own family, you know, I just feel so inadequate compared to this other family and the relationship. I'm lucky enough to have a great relationship with all my sons, but I know that I could have done so much more, and I know that I've wasted days. And, you know, I can tell here in the last week, you know, that I've gotten better. You know, I just appreciate things so much more. And I'm not the first one to do this. You know, so often we say, you know what, I'm going to change. I've been to this funeral. I've seen, had this life-changing events. I've been through life-changing events before, and I find myself 2 months later getting back to old ridiculous habits, and it's probably going to happen to me.
Yeah, you get into that grind of just everyday life, and the blinders go back up, and your resolve fades. I don't know why we find it so hard to live meaningful every single day, to let those people that we love know that we love them every single day.
Yeah,
I personally think it has something to do with just the overwhelming nature of the fact that we are going to die and that things are so precarious, and we try to block that out, that we live on a razor's edge of falling off into the abyss, and some tragedy could strike you at any moment. Driving home today,
right,
you could die. And I think that we try to just block that out, the fact that it is just so shaky and precarious, and that's why we seek little comforting ways of just blocking everything out. I don't want to call and tell someone how much they mean to me and how much I love them and all of that, because that reminds me of the fact that it's all going to end and some tragedy can strike. But that's the very reason that you need to make that call.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think we also take everything for granted, like you said, and we take for granted how many days we all have left or how many years we all have left. And so you think, yeah, I should pick up the phone and call my sister and tell her I love her. I can do that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always put it off.
I can do that next week. I'll do it when I see her next month. You know, that kind of thing. And I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to where people say, golly, you know what I regret the most? I never told them I loved them, you know, mm-hmm. before they died. You know, or it had been years since I told them I loved them or something like that. We get into a comfort zone. It's much easier to not do anything than to do something.
Right.
And we get into that comfort zone of, yeah, I can do it tomorrow. I'm 40 years old. I've got 50 years to do that. So that'll come down the road. It's a lot easier to do nothing.
What I don't understand is I'm good about telling people I love them. I'm not good about spending time with people. And that's what I don't know. Right. I wish I was much better about that. Because it's not like, I mean, I'm busy. Everybody's busy. But I also have just a lot of crap downtime that's spent on websites
right.
and Google News and just, you know, reading some op-ed piece and all that kind of unnecessary stuff
mm-hmm.
that I just hole up in a room and do rather than having lunch with, you know, I'm fortunate. My parents are still alive.
Yeah.
You guys have, George, you've lost both of yours. Craig, your dad is alive. Mm-hmm. I still have both my parents alive. I live in the same town as they do. I see them once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks.
That's pretty good, really.
Is it?
I know you could probably...
Throw a rock and hit their window?
Yeah, you could probably see them more, but that's actually... You've really made a better commitment than probably most people. I share with you something else. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who lives in this town, in our town, and his kids have been, you know, grieving over this and this family. And it's affected him in just little things like the the kid who runs home, throws his shoes everywhere, leaves a hockey stick that has mud on it in the entryway, and it usually goes through the roof as a parent. Yesterday he saw that at his house and didn't even faze him. Thank God I can still see that mess in front of me.
To those that I love, that those little incidents happen, I always think I'm lucky to be able to clean up this hockey stick and
right.
these shoes. I've always been good about that.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. But and I've been so guilty of that because, you know, you're at the end of the day, you're in a bad mood, and all of a sudden, you know, you're actually trying to learn how to cook today and you've destroyed this kitchen today. We've got to be somewhere in an hour and the blinders go back on
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'm going to try to just let... Who cares? Who cares? Let them make a mess. And then you get into the line of, you know, when do you start bringing in the discipline and all that stuff? I don't know. I know that I have mellowed out. Gordon and I talked a couple of weeks ago about death. It was before this incident. And I don't know. I've just been thinking a lot about it lately. And I guess as we get older, we do think about it more. I'm at peace with just about everything except what I've talked about for the last 8 minutes or so, is that I know I could have done so much better the last 46 years. And, you know, in the last week, I just, it's made me realize I just need to do so much better in whatever time I have left.
It, and that's a great pledge, and I have faith that you will live a better life from here on out. Not that you've lived a poor life, not implying that. But yeah,
he has a lot to change. I think
you can follow through on this. My question is, how do we follow through on this? Because remember, post 9/11, we all, everybody in this country swore we were going to love each other and, hey, it's us against the world now and we need to bond together and we're not going to flip people off on the road and all of that. And in a week, we were back to our old ways. Do you need to put up little reminders throughout your house or in your car? Or how, I don't know how you go about getting into that good rut.
Yeah, you've got to make a routine of doing the things that you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And they have to become the routine for you, whether it is making sure that you're spending quality time with your family, your friends, making that phone call. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Why don't y'all come over and have dinner? You know, I mean, it's just, you got to make that more of a routine. But I can already feel it setting in. Oh, geez. I know.
And you will.
Shopping,
and you will.
And
don't hate yourself. Don't hate yourself and feel guilty that you're falling back, because you will fall back, because the human being tries to find that comfort level once again.
Yeah.
It's like fighting an addiction. You have an addiction to that sort of comfort level of blinders. You're very comfortable with those blinders on. And so your body's going to want to go back to that. Your mind's going to want to go back to that over and over again. But also, if you study addiction treatment, one of the most important things that people in AA learn and those types of things is gratefulness. And you need to remind yourself every day to be grateful. And you need to remind yourself the things that you wouldn't think that you should be grateful for, you should. Those dirty hockey sticks. You need to be thankful that you have kids to get mad at. There's a lot of people in this world who would give anything to have a kid.
Or have them back.
Or have them back. Mm-hmm. Who have lost them. And so when you're getting pissed off at your teenager and they're driving you nuts, take a step back, take a breath, and think, God, I'm lucky I have this guy to be mad at right now.
And the only other advice I would give is you've got to find some sort of peace through whatever religion it is. And I'm not here to say there's only one way to get there. I'm also making a commitment to be more faithful and learn more about my own faith, which I'm ashamed to say I don't know nearly as much as I should about my own or other religions. But I think you do need to find some sort of center, something that in that moment when you see the shooting star, that you have peace and something gives you that. And I'm not saying there's only one way to get it. I know how I receive it, but I think you've got to make your peace with whoever you think your maker is.